One of the things that got me thinking was this topic of repenting or repentance. You know, we have a destination in life. We all come out of the womb the same way. We're all headed in a certain direction. And when we talk about the things of the scriptures outline a little different angle, if you will, on the direction of people's lives as opposed to what we may see or hear or learn from the world or different things on television. So I wanted to point out some of these things that this topic of repentance, that's the kind of the theme of this morning. So it's going to be more of a topical reading of the scriptures on some of these topics relating to repentance. The same concept kind of came to my mind yesterday. I was able to have a day off and took the family to Old Sturbridge Village. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've never been there. I've lived here all my life practically, and I've never been to Old Sturbridge Village, but same thing. You get these people that are just kind of like ants, just going through the maze there, going from house to house, checking out how things used to be, and actually are still to this day. I've seen places in the Midwest and different parts of the country that's the way they still live. So this application or this topic of our concept of repentance can apply to all of us, and even the Lord, which I'll get into a little bit when the scriptures come out. But this is something that we need to keep in mind, even as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, especially the non-believers. So there's different themes that we're going to weave through as we go through this morning. But the first section of scripture I'd like to read is in Isaiah 57. I've been reading through, actually I've been listening to Isaiah. I listened to it this past month, trying to catch up on my Bible time. I've been reading one section of the New Testament at home in print, and then as I'm driving, I listened through Isaiah. And this verse kind of caught my attention a few weeks back, and I just wanted to share it this morning. Isaiah 57, right off the get-go, verses 1 and 2. The righteous perishes, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace, they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. Well, you say, well, what does this have to do with repentance? Well, a little further down, we're going to get into that. But allow me to read that passage again. And a different translation. Good people pass away. The godly often die before their time. But no one seems to care or wonder why. No one seems to understand that God is protecting them from the evil to come. For those who follow godly paths will rest in peace when they die. A little different angle. That's a New Living Translation. And it's the part that really sticks out to me was this concept of the Lord doing these things when people die. And it's something that we trust in the Lord. We brought out a verse in Isaiah that was really sometimes hard to grasp when you think about how the Lord, it pleased him to crush his son. And some of these passages that we read in here come out and really show us what kind of God we believe in and serve, that some of these things we may not understand. We may not see some of these things, but the Lord does. And it's written down for us to read and to take heart from. The portion of this chapter that gets into repentance is a little further down. So let's read that, verses 15 to 21. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabit this eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. This concept of humility is something that we really, for myself, is what I try to focus on in all the things that I do and say in life. It's because this really stands out when you look at these passages in Scripture. The Lord loves the humble. We should humble ourselves. We look at how high and lofty and holy he is, and the difference between us and him is really great. It's too far for us to understand sometimes. Continuing on, for I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, when thou seest the naked, and thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break. Hold on a second. Hold on. I might skip the page here. Sorry. 15. Okay. Verse 17. For the iniquity of the covetous was I wroth, and smote him. I hide me and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of his lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. One thing we need to understand is that God does forgive. He does understand that we are all sinners, and that he can grant us this repentance if we just come to him. Has anybody ever heard of Jeff Foxworthy? Does anybody know who that? He tells these silly jokes about rednecks. You might be a redneck if, and then he goes on and says different things. You might be a redneck if your belt buckle you use as your ID as opposed to your license. Or what's that? Yeah, so this, one of my, I found funny was, you might be a redneck if your wife can climb a tree faster than your cat. So there's silly things like that. He goes on and on. Then those, most of the are pretty clean, but one of the things that I want to get into is you might be a sinner if. We're going to go through some of these things that shine a light on our very souls to reveal that we are sinners, that might maybe humble us, and that we can actually use in our lives and shed the light abroad for others to see as well. But as we go through, I want us to keep this concept of repentance. The term repent means to change one's mind or heartily amend with abhorrence one's past sins. We saw that in Job, at the end of Job. What Job did was he covered himself in ashes and burlap, I believe. It was to show his sign of repentance. He turned from everything. He actually said, I take back all that I said. So he actually showed his true repentance by what he did. And sometimes it's really hard to differentiate between this kind of sorrow that we may feel if we do something wrong, or we realize that we're doing something wrong or thinking something wrong. Sometimes that godly sorrow is a little bit different than a worldly sorrow, which we'll talk about a bit as well. But this repentance is also a change of the heart. It also means not just a change of the mind, but a change of intention and a change of heart. So you can understand that you may be doing something wrong and need that repentance. But to really take ownership of it is a little different story. Sometimes we need to suffer because of what we did, or go to jail, for example. That's why they call it the penitentiary, so that people can hopefully repent of their sins. That's what I want to keep in mind this morning, is sometimes we get lost in our lives, we get lost in the things that we do and think, and lose sight of this true repentance that only God can grant to us, which we'll get into as well. So there's a lot of different topics that we're going to brush upon today in regards to this repentance. Again, why? Why do we need to repent? Well, there's a problem that we have. Everyone in this room has, everybody in this world, everybody driving by, and it's the problem of sin. We don't hear this term much. If you go to school, public schools, nobody talks about sin. But it's a problem. And it's a big problem because the Lord sent his son, Jesus, to die for that sin. So we're going to go through a little bit of the Ten Commandments this morning. We're going to go through a couple of these, and we're going to see if we are a sinner or not. We're going to shine this mirror right upon everybody in this room so that we can see this for ourselves, what God says about this. So if you doubt me or doubt people that talk about these things, at the very least, you should believe what the Lord says about it. So let's turn over to Exodus chapter 20. I can't remember the last time I was in a place where they actually read through the Ten Commandments, so let's go ahead and read through it. Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Here's the first one. Thou shalt not have other gods before me. This was at a time where they were making some pretty interesting things as gods. This can apply to whatever takes first priority in our life. God wants to be first. He is a jealous God. So this is one of the first things that we can look at in our own lives. What is taking first place in our life? What are we worshiping? What are we putting our thoughts to? Is it the Lord every day, all day? The second one, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, wishing the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Here's another one in verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. How many are in this room are guilty of that one? OMG, that classifies as blasphemy. Any way that you use the Lord's name flippantly or lowly or in an insulting way is taking the Lord's name in vain. I see it every day. I hear a Christian, that girl that I work with, I've had to yet to correct her on that, but I believe she'll learn that saying that is not always appropriate. There's another girl that I work with who's having a baby, the sister of this Christian girl, so she's not come to the Lord yet. She's 21, and I can't imagine having a baby at 21, let alone 47 I had a baby. I can't believe that either, but that's beside the point. But 21 years old, and they have a baby, and they have a name that they picked out. And they decided to name this baby Messiah. Again, is that appropriate? This baby is going to come out of the womb, and it's going to be born into this world a sinner, just like everybody else. So right then and there, that brings the name of the Messiah. There was only one Messiah, and that was Jesus. He came to save us. He was the Messiah. So applying a name, and they're not even honoring the Lord by doing that. They just like the name. And it was funny because there was a gentleman that came to the window, and he was checking out, and he was asking the girl about the baby. And sometimes I have to bite my tongue, but sometimes I don't. And he was asking the girl about the name. He said, what are you going to name the baby? And she said, Messiah. And he's like, what, Messiah? He didn't understand it the first time. And then she said it again, and he said, oh, Messiah. And he's thinking, he's like, kind of like, and I said, yeah, like blasphemy. That's what I said right then. So anyway, this is something we have to be really careful, because out of the heart comes the intentions of what we feel and what we think. And again, this is something maybe you struggle with. I know I did. But the Lord took that from me, and only He can. You know, we could zip our tongue, we can zip our lips, but we have to be careful. It's the intent that we're looking at here. Let's continue on. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, thy daughter, the manservant, nor thy maidservant, the cattle, the stranger that is within the gates. We're not going to get too much into the Sabbath topic today, but this was the sixth day of the week. We celebrate, if you will, we worship the Lord on the first day of the week. Since Jesus came, things got shifted around a little bit, but regardless, this is the day that the Lord has made. In my book, it's all focused on Him every week, without a beat, without skipping a beat. Most of you know my story, but I lived many, many, many years sinking deep in sin, and the Lord pulled me out of that. So I'm not going to waste another Lord's Day doing frivolous things. I've done enough of that. No more from me. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth. How's this one working out for everybody? I know that one didn't apply to me too well. Thou shalt not commit a murder. I think I'm good on that one, but what does Jesus say? If you hate somebody, you've committed murder in your heart. So there we go, guilty again. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Same thing. You may not have actively committed adultery, but if you think these thoughts in your head, you're doing that. Thou shalt not steal. No, guilty again. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Shall not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his maidservant, his ox, his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Covetousness, another difficult one that people struggle with. I think we've had enough of the Ten Commandments. I mean, this is the law. This is the law that God gave us. We should love this. What does this do? This points out some things that, obviously, it shines a mirror upon our own hearts, that we may be guilty of these things. But it also shows us what is good. Because committing adultery may feel good, but what does it do? It interrupts something that's already been established that you have no business partaking in. It's not so good for the person that you commit adultery against. So when you really look down at the bottom of all these things, this is good stuff. This is something the Lord has instituted. We may not see it. We may not want to see it. But it's the truth of God's word. So again, we all need to repent. And we're going to look at two different instances in Luke where there was a sinner and there was one that was lost that repented. So there's a little contrast that I picked up there in that portion. So let's look at a portion in 1 John about the truth of sin. 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, verses 8, 9, and 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Three verses that I live by. Does anybody yet still think that they don't have sin in them or that they haven't sinned? Again, this may not apply to us here, but when we step out that door, people are sinning left and right, and they don't want to see it or they may not see it. They may not want to see it especially because what are they doing? They're loving themselves, their sin. It's fun when you're in that. They've suppressed the truth, this truth of God's word, in unrighteousness. So these are three verses that we need to stick with. But the thing is, if we confess those sins, if we realize that what we're doing is sinful, or what we're thinking is sinful, God is faithful to forgive us those sins. But we need to turn to that. We need to turn and repent from that and put that into God's hands. And the beautiful thing about this is when we do that, there's a lot of joy. We realize it. We become a new person, if you will. But there's joy in heaven when sinners repent. Let's turn over to Luke now, actually. Luke 15. Luke chapter 15, we're going to read about two parables. Let me make sure I'm on the right one here. All right, so Luke chapter 15, verses 3. And he spoke this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? Until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 90 and then 9 just persons which need no repentance. Let me read verse 7 again. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. So we can please those in heaven when we do that. This may seem to be a little more particular to one that may be a lost person that might be out there wandering around. And the Savior saved him from that. And he repented. And there's joy in heaven. Further down, the next few verses, it talks about another one. It talks about the lost coin. Suppose a woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lost one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she finds it. And when she found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece that which I lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God, over one sinner that repents. When I read that again from this angle, I'm a sinner, and I've repented as early as this week. So not only does it bring joy to the angels and the Lord, it brings joy to me because it humbles me. It brings me down low to where I need to be so I can see the error of my ways. And the Lord can use that, and he can take it and mold it. And this concept of repentance that we are thinking about, or we're studying here in the scriptures, applies, like I said at the beginning, to everyone. You, people outside, and even the Lord. So that's the section I want to look at right now where that is drawn out in Jeremiah. We can turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18 at verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Said the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plan it. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now, therefore, go, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. So this is something that I'm not going to get into in too much detail, but it shows that the Lord can turn or change his mind, if you will, on certain things like this. But it is somewhat conditional because we have to turn from our evil ways. And this is a chance that he gives us now. And I think about these end times that people talk about and how they believe that the Lord is coming close and the end times are near. On one hand, yes, I can see all this. I can see all the things lining up in Scripture and what's happening in the world. But personally, there's a part of me that thinks that we're not even close to the Lord coming back yet. Because if you look at all the years that have gone by and all the stuff that's gone on, why hasn't he come back yet? It's probably because he's still waiting for that next person to get saved and that next person to get saved. And it goes on and on. And he is slow to anger and to wrath. And he has long suffering, which we do not. So over time, we can see this happening. And he is repenting as we speak to hold off that wrath, possibly, which he rightly can do and should do to us, as a nation especially. So it's one of the things that, you know, when you look at the top down, you look at the Lord changing his mind, if you will, and you look at Christians changing our minds, it's something that's really humbling, the fact that we can repent and God can grant that repentance. And that's another concept that we're going to look at in a moment as well. And that moment is now. Let's go to Acts chapter 11. I think the turkey is just finally setting in now. And no, I did not kill my turkey this year. I did in the spring, but I didn't have it this year. My wife got a deal at Stop and Shop, so we had that one. Okay, so let me find my Acts chapter 11 and verse 16. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And another translation, when the others heard this, they stopped objecting and began praising God. They said, we can see that God has also given the Gentiles the privilege of repenting of their sins and receiving eternal life. And that's what it comes down to. Because in a moment, in an instant, we'll be off this earth, we'll be dead in these bodies, and we'll be on to eternity, which lasts for a long, long time. And that's what it comes down to. Do we have that eternal life? Are we grabbing hold of that? Are we proclaiming it? Turn back to Luke 24. If you don't want to turn, you can just listen to me. Luke 24, verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We're instructed to do this. One of my favorite sections of, or this concept of repenting, was done right in the midst of Jesus when he was walking on this earth with his disciple Peter. Peter, in Luke 22, is given a second chance. We've noticed that the Lord predicted what Peter would do. He would deny Jesus three times before the rooster crowed. And in verse 31 of chapter 22, we read, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And another version again, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Again, he had to repent. It just shows us that we will need this as we go through our life. Hopefully not anytime soon, and hopefully not in a major way, but the fact is Peter needed this repentance, and the Lord pleaded with the Father. And this is shown in another section in the verses here, in two portions, in Romans chapter 7. I'll read it. You don't have to turn there. Romans chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him, and he that saith he abides in him ought to himself so to walk even as he walked. Just little reminders that he's our advocate, he's our Savior, he is the one that saves, and he's the one that grants us this repentance. He pleads to the Father for this, for the sake of time, we're just going to go right to the last section of verses that I'm going to read this morning in 2 Peter. We can all turn there, and this will end up right in here. 2 Peter chapter 1. And beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words that we could read through that today. May you put it upon the hearts of each one of us here to continue in that walk day by day, that we remember your Son, remember what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. We thank you for that forgiveness that can be found in him and him alone. We ask that you help us to diligently seek him and walk with him and continue to grow in righteousness and holiness, Lord. We just ask you to continue to bless this day, this first day of the week, that we keep it holy and keep our mind set upon thee, Lord, and be with us this week as we go about our days, and help us to minister to others the truth that is found in your word and in your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.